Blog Talk Radio.
Live because we want to stay alive in the most high creator's blessings. Here comes the time. Generation Redemption from Reb Isaac Baton. This is your cyberspace Torah activist host with our humble efforts in Soul Class number 132, Quantum Torah part number 9. And of course, Blessed Souls, Soul is an acronym for those of you who are more than 11,000 live and archive listeners to our humble efforts the last year plus. Soul is an acronym for 7. O, S for 7. O, oldest, original, U, universal, L, laws. The 7 Noah commandments, 7 in B'nai Noah, which can be thoroughly described, but will require your research to learn more about it, Blessed Souls, if you want to. And those 7 commandments, axiomatic commandments, are as follows. Number 1, not to blaspheme the Creator with the Creator's name. Number 2, not to serve idols. Number 3, not to commit premeditated acts of murder. Number 4, not to steal. 5, not to commit adultery. Number 6, not to eat the limb of an animal while it's still alive. And 7, to raise up righteous statutes among the land, all the lands of the human family, Kwa Mishpacha Adama. So we continue with our efforts today, Blessed Souls, to inform you, O bearer of divine image, Tzelem Elokim, that the international Israelite community will be reading from the following sections of the book of Exodus, Parshat Bo, chapter 10, verse 1, until chapter 13, verse 16. We also will be reading from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 46, verse 13, until chapter 46, verse 28. Source material for the show today will be drawn from Rav Hillel of Parich, Zohar, which is the book of Revelation for the nation of Israel, the Ben Ish Chai and Lubavitcher Rebbe, and included within the teaching of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, terse elucidations by other Rebbeim of Chabad. So, before we want to go on with the show, I just want to mention something to you that I've recently been advised, and I'm trying to follow through with this advice given to be my mentor, to enlist blessed souls like yourself to help me in my effort to expand my humble efforts here on Blog Talk Radio, Blessed Blog Talk Radio, and ask to become a partner in supporting our show. Now, one of the ways you can do that is you can click on to my homepage, and you'll see in the comments section, I've typed in the means by which if you click it on, you can make a donation. We're about $290 short before we can go pro premium. And by the way, if anyone would like to discuss this further with me privately, I'll even give out my private cell number. This initial effort is not for me to make money as a profit, but rather to expand our ability to broadcast not just 11,014 people listen to live archive versions of the last year plus, but which is about 86 people a show, but rather to expand it tenfold, a hundredfold, thousandfold to try to get more people engaged in the learning of Torah, which means divine instruction. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or nation of Israel or a blessed son or daughter of Noah. So I'm going to give out my private cell number now, and please have patience with me because I am a working man, I'm a family man, I'm a certain person also travels a lot within the nature of my job requirements. My number is 347-299-1067. That's 347-299-1067. We can continue our discussions how you can participate and your participation to support our efforts to expand our broadcasting abilities to pro premium on Blog Talk Radio. It will be an act of tzedakah, an act of charity, an act of righteousness. And if you want to join us live on the show right now, you can call us now at 347-838-8669. I've got more than 35 quantum energy points to share with you today, blessed souls. And if we don't finish there, we can, with the blessings of the Most High, continue it next week. So with that being said, before we go into the Torah portion of Quantum Torah, part number 9, let's just review some basic points about quantum physics. So what is quantum physics, blessed souls? It engages, one, to study the behavior of matter and energy. And we know energy is the ability to do work. So how do we define matter? It has many definitions. And one of the ways is something which has mass. And mass, we've talked about, is basically how much inertia does something have? Meaning if something is still, how much is that object still? Or that object is in motion, how much is in motion? Okay, and mass is also something that occupies space. So we're trying to put together these ideas and plugging it into the concept of quantum physics. And quantum physics has a certain axiomatic teaching that I've become aware of that was actually the human family found out about in the early 20th century that the laws, the regulations, the axiomatic knowledge that would govern, say, a macroscopic object, meaning something which is of a broad proportion, great proportion, does not necessarily, function or operate according to the same axiomatic principles in smaller realms. So what does quantum mean? Why are we talking about quantum Torah? I mean, who talks about quantum Torah? Well, quantum Torah means how much from the Latin derivative, and how much in Hebrew means comma. And it's referring to discrete units of matter. We've just described matter, and you might hear the pitter-patter of my cat, Fucci, as he runs around, and maybe he wants to hear some quantum energy Torah points as well. Now, the whole idea of matter, and if they're discrete units of matter and energy, the endeavor is to try to predict and observe it within the realm of quantum physics. Again, how does something work in smaller realms, and can we connect the dots to understand how it would function in larger realms? So with that being said, blessed souls, we're now going into quantum Torah energy points. And again, I'll be starting off with Rav Hillel Meparich. And Torah quantum energy point number 1. As a continuation of last week's quantum Torah energy points, quantum Torah edition 8, we began focusing
on two-thirds, in a general sense, of the human intellectual condition, namely wisdom, that's chokhmah, or understanding, which is bina. Both relate to cognitive perception, with wisdom emphasizing initial sense perception of visualizing the beauty, which is the outer composition of a viewed entity, and understanding, which is the process of encoding that visualization of beauty via letters within your brain, and then elucidating it to yourself via the soul garments of thoughts, the soul garment of speech, or even the soul garments of action, meaning you take a concept that you're working over in your mind, and you write it down, and you can share it with other people. To our quantum energy point number two. Now, the third general point of the human intellectual condition is, by the Hiller wants us to know, that is paradoxically not a general quality of intellect as we would normally understand intellect, which emphasizes wisdom. Okay, and so therefore, let me restate that. So this third general part of the human intellectual condition, which is part of the intellect, but paradoxically is not of the general quality of intellect, which emphasizes wisdom. And this third general part of the human intellectual condition does not emphasize either a general quality of comprehension, which is a deeper dimension of understanding bina, but rather this third general part of the human intellectual condition is called das, or dat, which is part of the intellectual human experience of this, making essential connection to the concept one has perceived, emphasis on wisdom, chokhmah, and comprehension, which is an emphasis on bina. Meaning, if I have a wise perception of wisdom, my faculty of das, which is located in the back part of the brain according to Hasidic and Kabbalistic teachings, will connect to the essence of that perception of beauty, as we talked about before, to the essence of it. If I can encode that pictorialization or perception or vision of that wisdom, and I can encode it in letters of thought, speech, and action, okay, the faculty of das, of connection, essential connection, will go to the essence of that understanding or comprehension. Torah quantum energy point number three. However, we have to point out, blessed souls, the root, the shoresh of das, although from one perspective follows after wisdom, which is chokhmah, and it follows after understanding bina, as an intellectual byproduct, meaning to open up one's das, one's essential connection to wisdom and understanding, one first has to have the wisdom and understanding. But from another perspective, das, the faculty of connection, or knowledge, essential knowledge, essentially knowing something, also towers over both human intellectual conditions of wisdom, chokhmah, and bina, understanding, and koach hasaga, and the power of one's comprehension. So Torah quantum energy point number four, blessed souls, is hopefully next week when we continue to share Rav Hillel's elucidations, we will vibe out on two general levels of das, which, on another level of understanding of bina, hasaga, are actually to be considered four general levels of das. So you see, blessed souls, when we look at something superficially, it looks one way. When we go into the details of the details, according to a Torah perspective, the macrocosmic perception or understanding, and even from the scientific endeavor, which are very praiseworthy, trying to understand right, left, and back brain thinking, when we go into the microcosmic perceptions and elucidations from Torah, we get a different picture, but it's not a contradiction between scientific knowledge of the brain and intellectual human experience and Torah elucidations of the human intellectual experience. But you have to learn more Torah, blessed souls, and perhaps you might feel encouraged or inspired to learn more about science, to try to See for yourselves, there's no contradiction between Torah and science. Torah quantum energy, point number 5, and now we're going to switch over to the Zohar, the book of Revelation for the nation of Israel. We observe, the Zohar states, starts off in Parshas Bo, this week's Parsha, Torah portion from the book of Exodus. At the beginning of this week's Torah portion, the Most High declares to Moses, Moshe, the mighty Levite prophet, he has hardened the heart of Paro. Torah quantum energy, point number 6. Now, in contrast to open scriptural instruction that we just learned about, tersely, about what the Most High declared to Moshe, the Zohar continues that Rabbi Yehuda quotes from Psalms 89, verse 16, and they with the light of your countenance, unquote. I kind of extracted out from that verse, which you can see for yourself, but it's in Psalms 89, verse 16. Now, the Zohar elucidates, according to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of that verse, this alludes to the children of men who go and engage in the study of Torah, which is, in fact, the light of the countenance of Hashem. So once you get into the realm of learning Torah, blessed souls, you're in a good light, because you're in the light of the countenance of the Most High. Torah quantum energy, point number 7. The Zohar elaborates that those who are engaging in Torah study and fulfilling commandments are spared from heavenly accusations after their lives here are concluded upon this blessed earth. And they go to the next level, what the Lubavitch Rebbe once called, in speaking to a group of students from the organization, Jewish organization called Hillel, that when a person, what we call, say here on earth, dies, their soul doesn't die, but it goes to the next level of life. And the soul is the essential point of the human being's experience up in heaven, down here on earth, and back when the person returns to our Maker. Torah quantum energy, point number 8, awareness is evident among living people that accusations can be launched against them by external spiritual forces. This is acknowledged by all spiritual systems in the world. And those external spiritual forces can enter a person in an internal fashion and cause that person to do wrong, what the world would call a sin. And then they can fall into a net of external spiritual forces. Basically, as we would say on the street, a person goes in a path of negativity, they get caught up in a spider web, a cobweb of web of negativity. However, Torah quantum energy, point number 9 from the Zohar, wants us to know, but by fulfilling commandments, and you have to learn more, you can learn about from the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, whether you're an Israelite, you can also learn them as a Noahide to learn about the virtues of the nation of Israel, but the 7 Noahide commandments. But by fulfilling commandments and learning Torah, people in this world can prevent excessive vitality from empowering more than necessary those external spiritual forces, which generally speaking the world would call evil forces or forces of evil. And that just, those are little nuggets coming out of the Zohar. You can see why we of Israel called the Zohar, as I like to say it in an anglicized form, this is the book of Revelation for the nation of Israel, in my own humble opinion. It certainly is for me. Now we move on to the teachings of the Chacham of Baghdad, the Ben Ish Chai, in Torah Quantum Energy, point number 10. The Ben Ish Chai elucidates that we of Israel are commanded to fulfill a unique commandment, which is mentioned tersely. I'll not elucidate how to do it. Actually, those objects look like they're described as frontlets in English. They're called tefillin or totafos. And we are commanded to put one pair on our left arm, facing our heart, and the other pair to be placed upon our head, which is facing one's brains, from above to below. Torah quantum energy, point number 11, by placing a pair of tefillin for an Israelite, one pair facing the heart and the other pair facing the brain, we are subduing negative tendencies which can be easily be found in our brain and heart. If we're honest with ourselves, blessed souls, you know what I'm talking about. And by the way, for those Jewish people, Israelites, who write with their left hand, where their right hand is actually their weaker hand, they are commanded to put tefillin on their right arm, not their left arm. But to learn more about it. If this is something relevant to you, you can ask your local rabbinical authority. This is a mitzvah which is uniquely commanded upon the Israelites, and I would not recommend a Noahide, although a Noahide can try to fulfill as many mitzvahs as they can, with the exception of a couple like that, and keeping Shabbos as an Israelite would. Still, they can celebrate Shabbos, and from talking with the Noahide Chassid and Ron Williams, who's been learning the Sheva Mitzvahs 20 years now, that for the Noahide, the act of tefillin can be fulfilled on a spiritual plane by controlling one's mind and controlling one's emotions, which can be done by learning teachings from Torah how to do so. So Torah quantum energy, point number 12, continuing from the elucidation to me plucking out from the Ben Ish Chai. So we should mention that the brain, the moyach, is a mishkan, a tabernacle for wisdom, chokhmah. And the heart is a mishkan, a tabernacle for understanding. Torah quantum energy, point number 13, when the brain and heart are subdued via the mitzvah of tefillin, being given over to a higher cause to be used in prayer, to give thanks and praises to the Most High, and make requests for what we need, which is a Torah commandment, the rest of our organs of our body can become not only subdued, but also sanctified as well to a higher purpose of existence. And leaving you off with one other salient point from the Ben Ish Chai, that the brain and heart are considered to be levushei hamachshava, I should say, the garments of thought. Now, normally we think of garments as the clothes we put on our body. We can even think of garments as our actions and our speech. But here we see that and our thought process can also be a garment for our soul. But here, the Ben Ish Chai is identifying that the physical brain and the physical heart are actually garments which enwrap around, just like the clothes enwrap our body, as garments for thought, the human thought process. But that's something, I actually have two more points from the Ben Ish Chai. Torah quantum energy, point number 15. When these organs of thought, levushi hamachashava, brain and heart are sanctified via mitzvah tefillin, it follows that the peh, the mouth, shall be sanctified as well as subdued as well to a greater sense of purpose in this world. Torah quantum energy, point number 16. We do ask you to consider, blessed souls, that many thoughts, in fact, thoughts continually manifest in your brain, and which is machashava. And kavana, or intention, is lodged inherently within your blessed heart. However, and this in fact will be the last Torah quantum energy point from the Ben Ish Chai this week, Torah quantum energy point number 16. However, both brain and heart were originally designed to work together to nullify, so to speak, a quality of argumentation which could take place within oneself and within the human community of souls, meaning, what is argumentation? Confusion about purpose in life. But to know, blessed souls, that you are blessed and anointed, to know that your heart and brain were designed to work symbiotically to remove any confusion which could ensue in the human life process. But again, we learn of these concepts, we have to try to implement it and try to grow in our knowledge, and try to grow to expand our understanding within our heart, or even the emotions within our heart, to live a more elevated type of life. And I speak of myself before anyone else as someone who wants to work on this, but just to hear these words, blessed souls, are blessings for those who hear it, and it's a blessing for me to share with you, because these are instructions coming down from some of the wisest men of their generation, from different generations. Not just for their generation, but for future generations as well. They knew these things. They knew their teachings, which once committed to writing and published on a mass scale, would be for future generations. Not for just them, not just for their children, but for their children's children's children until the coming of the Mashiach, the Messiah. Torah quantum energy, point number 17. Now we're going to turn and pluck it out and still, I could say we're not going to do full justice to this teaching by the Lubavitch Rebbe, which was taught on Yud Shvat, which was the second anniversary of his accepting the responsibility of becoming the seventh Rebbe, Admor of Chabad Hasidus, Lubavitch. And this was this he gave over this Hasidic discourse, this Maimer, in Tufshin Yud Beis, which would correspond to 1952. So Torah Quantum Energy, point number 17, blessed souls, is King Solomon instructed via his Song of Songs, chapter 5, verse 1, quote, "My sister, my bride, I came to my garden," unquote. Torah Quantum Energy, point number 18, then we see, blessed souls, there is an elucidation which came probably within the next 1,000 years after King Solomon, with his Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, wrote, "My sister, my bride, I came to my garden." The Midrash Rabbah commenting on that verse from Song of Songs, that this verse is informing us, blessed souls, that the essence of the Shekhinah was there in that garden. But what garden was that? Blessed souls, it was the Garden of Eden, Gan Eden. Torah Quantum Energy, point number 19. But then a problem arose. There was a tree in that garden, and that tree was instrumental in the departure of the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, via the action, which we call a sin, of original man and woman, and the name of original man and woman was Adam and Chava. Torah Quantum Energy, point number 20. Now, the Hasidic discourse, Maimah of the Rebbe, expounded upon the idea that because of the original sin of Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, that the Shekhinah departed from the earth, from the Aretz, to what is known as the Rekia, which we would say in English as the first firmament. Torah Quantum Energy, point number 21. Then during the first 6 generations following the original sin, other major sins caused a further departure upwardly of the Shekhinah, Divine Presence, until it was reached the seventh firmament, the Rekia Zion. So Torah Quantum Energy, point 22, blessed souls, is where I myself brought some questions up within my mind, within my the garment of my thought. And blessed souls, these are the questions that came to my mind. So when we talk about Divine Presence, how do we understand what, aside from the word, the terse English definition of Divine Presence, how do we understand Shekhinah in a more, in a broader, more elucidated sense? Also, my second question is, blessed souls, is how do we understand the concept of firmament, Rekia? My third, and last but not least, my question, blessed souls, is how can we understand how we mere tiny puny human beings formed from the dust of the earth can drive away this mighty Shekhinah, this mighty Divine Presence? Torah Quantum Energy, point number 23. But before we even try to tackle those questions, blessed souls, we were also informed from the Rebbe's teaching, this Hasidic discourse, this Maimah, that tzaddikim, righteous souls, actually engaged in those early generations before the giving of the Torah, up until the giving of the Torah, returned the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, back down from this highest firmament, the sixth, and then the fifth, the fourth, third, second, and first firmament, from Zion, Rekia, and back to the world, I should say, through their efforts, the commandments they could do in their days. Who were these seven righteous individuals? Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, Jacob, Israel, Levi, Kohot, or Kahas, Amram, who happened to be the father of Moses, and Moshe himself. And what's very interesting to know, blessed souls, as a universal extension of empowerment to the Noahide peoples of the world, nations, is that from the halachic sense, from the Jewish law sense, all of these men, these tzaddikim, these righteous souls, up until Moshe received the Torah of Har Sinai, from a purely halachic standpoint, were all children of Noah, and it was at Mount Sinai where the Noahide Israelites became Israelites as we understand ourselves today from 3,320, almost 3,324 years ago. Torah Quantum Energy, point number 24. These and future tzaddikim, righteous souls, righteous men, possessed the ability to not only reveal the Shekhinah, divine presence, back onto the earth, but to eventually dwell on that earth. They revealed the Shekhinah, the divine presence. So what is that earth that they shall inherit in the future world, which we call Olam Haba, the world to come? That's called the Garden of Eden, Gan Eden. Torah Quantum Energy, point number 25. So let us, blessed souls, try to at least get some better acquainted now with the terms of Shekhinah, Divine Presence, and Firmament, Rikia. Torah Quantum Energy, point number 26. During his initial Hasidic Maimer, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, when he accepted the awesome responsibility of leading the Chabad Hasidic movement and eventually to lead, to instruct and advise, to assist and bless and pray for Jews around the world and also for the Noahides, he revealed various terse presentations of the Shekhinah from several Chabad Lubavitcher Rebbes, who preceded him. Torah Quantum Energy, point number 27, relating to the concept of Shekhinah, so the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the first Chabad Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, in the presentation that I'm trying to bring it down into English from the Rebbe's Mimer from 1951, 57-11, that Shekhinah should be understood or presented as an expression, a bechinah of Elokut of godliness dwelling and enclosing itself, I say parenthetically, within an entity worthy of such unification and indwelling and enclosement, unquote. Or take away you can insert the parenthetical bracket within your mind that I just created. Therefore, the beginning of the revelation of the Or Ein Sof, the light which is infinite from the infinite Creator, is also called Shekhinah. So, our first understanding of Shekhinah is that it's relating to the idea of dwelling and encoding itself within a vessel that can receive that revelation. But the beginning of that, even that process of revelation of the Or Ein Sof, the light which is infinite, coming from an infinite Creator, is also called Shekhinah. As well, we should bear in mind or keep in mind that Shekhinah is not just for enclosement in the world of intellect or Atzilut. And I guess you'll have to Google up what is world of Atzilut. There are various websites you can go to learn about that. But it's also Shekhinah, which is, we're now defining as the beginning of a revelation from the infinite light, is a revelation of godliness, Elokut, which is above Atzilut, the world of intellect. It is a, so to speak, a divine quality of divinity, a Bechina Eloki of Elokut, which existed, even before the initial contraction, the Tzimtzum Rishon, of divine qualities, of Bechinot Eloki, of Or, of light. So the first revelation of light is called Shekhinah. So it's that which is capable of enclosing itself in a vessel, and that which is also just the idea of something beginning its process of revelation is called Shekhinah. Of course, and that relates to Or Eloki, godly light. Torah Quantum Energy, point number 28. From the second Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe of Chabad, of Lubavitch, the sheer rays of the divine measuring line, or string, and I'm now going to make a parenthetical statement, by elucidating on the idea of Shekhinah as that the divine measuring line, which is called the Kav, or Kav Rechut, potentially this is the quote-unquote string theory that modern-day quantum mechanic physics are in search of as they try to grasp or grope through measurable entities and take a leap into the power of their fertile imaginations into realms of divine measurements, while they themselves, or some of them at least, some scientists, remain ambivalent and with an uncertain certitude to justify pontificating on the unknown, but they're pontificating on something which is an unknown blessed soul that was already known by the tzaddikim, the righteous of past, present, and even future generations. And these tzaddikim can elucidate to the greatest detail about something which is the source of what the scientists would call string theory, what is taking place beyond the observable eye, excuse me, even from among the most healthy actualizations of human intellect. And we're talking about prophets as well, as that relates to the essence of the Orient Sof, the light which is infinite. So let's understand that Shekhinah can be understood, blessed soul, simply stating, as the revelation of a divine line of measurement which will be involved in the actual creation of the universe that we know of. Because the essence of Shekhinah, the Etzem HaShekhinah, is in every place according to the capacity of that place to merit having Shekhinah, divine presence, dwell within it. Torah quantum energy point number 22, the third rabbi, the Tzemek Tzedek, addressed the term Shekhinah, divine presence, as the lowest level of a higher realm. But that lowest level of a higher realm is not only a higher realm encompassing a lower realm, is at some level entirely removed from the lower realm. That's a tongue twister and a mind twister, but if you think about it, the lowest link of a higher chain link is the highest connection of the lower link, chain link, that is looped at the bottom of that higher chain link and extends downwardly. And is that, so let's go back to this idea of level. So at that lowest level of a higher realm, there is a level that is totally unified with higher realms within the lower level of that higher realm, and it's fed by it. For example, kingship, malchut, the divine attribute of kingship, of atzilut, of the world of intellect, is at another level, atik, a source of divine pleasure in relation to the world of bria, the world of thought, while the malchus of atzilut, the divine attribute of kingship, of the world of intellect, is simultaneously unified, excuse me, with nine divine conduits or vessels, lights, sefirot as we call it. So when Malchut of Atzilut is turning downwardly to feed, when the divine attribute of kingship of the world of intellect is feeding into the highest level of the world of thought, there's still an aspect of that Malchut, that kingship, divine attribute of kingship of the world of intellect, which is unified with those spherot, those divine conduit vessels above it. And that time it's not called Shekhinah because it's in a state of reception. But when the divine aspect of Malchut is channeling down Shefa Eloki, divine bounty, into Bria, into the world of thought, it is called Shekhinah. Torah quantum energy point number 23, therefore when we relate to the divine line of measurement called the Kav, Kav Echut, it can be called Shekhinah in relation, again, to Or Ein Sof, the light which is infinite. Now, the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, in Torah Quantum Energy point number 24, wrote that the intention of the divine line of measurement, the Kav, was that it should, does, and will always enclose itself within worlds and the souls of Israel. Therefore, the beginning of the divine line of measurement, the Kav, can be called Shekhinah, because the Most High intended it eventually enclosed itself within an appropriate vessel. So Kav serves as an intermediary, a mamutza. It is called Shekhinah in relation to its source, which is the Or Ein Sof, the light which is infinite before the initial contraction, Tzimtzum Rishon. And it's also called Shekhinah because it's being directed ultimately, downwardly, to nourish the souls of Israel and the rest of creation. And it can also nourish the children of Noah. To our quantum energy point number 25, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Rishab, explained that the revelation of the divine light, the Or Eloki, before the first divine contraction, the Tzimtzum Arishon, is also called the Shekhinah. So now we're, before we called that which emanates out of or is revealed from the Or Ein Sof, the light which is infinite, Ashkenat. Now we're calling that light, which is the source of the divine light line of measurement, the Kav, or Chut, is also called Shekhinah. Now this divine light, this Or Eloki, is perceivable under the spiritual microscope of Chassidus in the following threefold manner, in a general sense, according to the teaching of the Rebbe Rishab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. There's the essence of this light, the Etzama Or. There's a dispersion of this light, the Hispashtuta Or. And within the dispersion of this light, that dispersion is only within the source of itself, the Creator, which serves as a source of an encompassing light, the Mokar of Or Solar, the source of encompassing light, encompassing consciousness, which we're not really aware of because it encompasses all of us equally. So to speak, like when you have a thought to yourself and you don't share it with anyone else, yet you carry that thought with you as you interact with other people. That's allegorically, you know, to help us understand that the Most High has thoughts, or He projects out light according to His divine will and wisdom, which He is only aware of, yet we are aware of the fact that His consciousness is above our consciousness. Now, within this threefold manner, now we go to the dispersion of the light within the Creator, but then that divine light tangibly connects with all the worlds, and that's called the Mokor Sha'or Mamali. That's a light which is relevant to the process of enclosing itself within the vessels of creation. Whichever part of creation is a particular suitable vessel for a type of Or Eloki, godly light, which will become evident that that entity is being given life by something above itself. Now bear in mind, blessed souls, this light, this Or, was existing before any sense of contraction of that light, and is still to be an expression of the Shekhinah, which is, again, this idea that a revelation, before it gets to its place, to be settled in a vessel suitable for that revelation, is, in this context, going to be called Shekhinah. Okay? Because it's going to eventually get there. Yet we can still, and we still must maintain a balance within our understanding, blessed souls, that the level of Or Eloki, godly light, is not accessible until there was imposed upon it a restriction by the Ein Sof, the infinite Creator, because we human beings, possessors of, even though we are proud possessors and humbled and meritorious possessors of a divine image, can access this light, still have to remain human and not be overwhelmed and not even be destroyed by an excessive revelation of the Or Eloki, the godly light. And like, you know, we know that we'll learn in several chapters down the road in the book of Exodus, that Moses, the great prophet, was told by the Most High that no man can see me and live. So we can stand certain levels of revelation and be privy vessels for it. On the other hand, we have to be careful not to get more than we can bear. And the Most High knows better than us what we can bear. Torah quantum energy point number 26. That which was revealed eventually descended in an orderly fashion, level after level. And this Or Eloki, this godly light, at any juncture in time, illuminated, and will forever illuminate beyond the order of creation. Torah quantum energy point number 27. When there is manifested an extraction of this Or Eloki, its intensity is gradually diminished, enabling the rest of creation to remain just that, a creation capable of receiving, internalizing, and with the appropriate blessings and merit, reflect back out into the other realms of creation that Or Eloki. So now, blessed souls, we come to terms with the concept of firmament. But I see we're down to 52 seconds. So I see that we're going to have to continue next week. And I just want to remind you, everyone, that if you enjoyed some sort of nourishment from this show, to please consider, you can contact me at 347-299-1067, which I can explain to you how you can support our efforts to go to Pro Premium on Blog Talk Radio, to meet tens and hundreds of thousands of more people, to share with them the blessed teachings of the Torah. So I owe everyone to review more some of these, to review with you and to explain and elucidate according to the blessings I have as a Torah activist, these teachings. So hopefully next week we'll do an abridged version of Torah Quantum Energy, Quantum Torah, and then we'll do the regular version as well. There's just so much to talk about, blessed souls. because Torah is endless and we only have a limited amount of time. But we will end the show with a beautiful beautiful song by David Dohm, good friend out in England, who the lyrics were by Sivan Ariel, who is a cutting-edge poet living out, I believe, in Georgia. And so she combined her words and he combined his music to make this beautiful song called The Light of the Afflictive Soul. Enjoy, everyone. Have a blessed week and have a blessed Shabbat. This is Dov signing off. Ahav echad, one love, goyel echad, one destiny, kulanu, v'darchi neum, darchi shalom, in a pleasant and peaceful way. Take care, everyone.